want to thank you for joining us at Cowboy Junction Church today. As you hear this message, we pray that your faith will grow and you will be both encouraged and challenged. We would really love it too if you would subscribe, rate, review, and share this online. You can also help us reach others by partnering with us financially. You can easily give a one-time gift or set up a recurring gift at cowboyjunctionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoy the message today. Well, happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the room. It is so cool to get to be a part of Mother's Day at Cowboy Junction and to get to see all of the moms in the room. What a special day. Pastor Heather last week spoke, and she said that Pastor Ty would be back this week, and he is back, but he's out there, I think. And so I get the honor and privilege of getting to speak today, but I'm just excited to get to share with you what God has placed on my heart, and I'm so excited that you're here. Real quick, before we pray, I just want to read a scripture that I feel like could almost be the theme verse for what I feel like has been placed on my heart to share today. And so it's in John chapter 14, verse 27. And it says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time that we all get together to worship, to spend time in your presence, to get filled up with the things that we need. And God, you know exactly what this time needs to look like, what it needs to sound like, what it needs to feel like. And so, Lord, I just pray that you show up and have your way. I pray that these words would be all yours and not mine, that this would be exactly what you wanted to be. God, give me confidence to walk with the shoes of peace on, to share your message and your gospel the way that I'm supposed to. But ultimately, Lord, I just want you to take over. I am desperate for you. And Lord, I pray for every heart, every ear in this place, including my own. Help us to hear what you would have us hear. Help us to get a hold of the word that you have for each one of us this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So just in case you don't know, my name's CG. I'm on staff here at Cowboy Junction. And many of you may know my story. Many of you may not. But it was actually 3 years ago. It was May of 2019. I got to speak here at Cowboy Junction for Mother's Day, and it was my first time to really share with anyone about our journey that Clay and I were walking through of infertility. We had been praying and believing for a child and just hadn't seen that happen the way that we thought it should, and our timing and all of those things. And the message I got to speak that day was called In Due Time, and it was all about trusting and believing, praying, expecting God to do what he said he would do when he said he would do it, and just trusting him, whatever that might look like. And so that was 3 years ago on Mother's Day. And a few months after that, we decided after a lot of prayer and counsel and talking to God that we felt like we were supposed to start the adoption process. And so we did all the stuff that goes with that, all of the paperwork and all the stuff. There's a lot of it. And then so for 2 years almost, we were in that process of waiting to adopt a baby. 3 days before Mother's Day last year in 2018, we got the phone call that we had been matched with an amazing woman who had picked us to be her child's birth mom, our family. She was our birth mom, and we were going to be his family. 3 days before Mother's Day, it was a super special day, super special time. And then in June of 2018, just about a month later, Case Damon Harden was born, and we fell head over heels in love immediately. I'd always heard about that, but I didn't really know if it was true. And then we just grow to love him more and more and more. Like, I didn't know that could even happen. It's just the coolest. Being a mom and motherhood has been the coolest thing ever. Waiting on God's timing, his faithfulness is so worth it. Trusting God no matter what it looks like is the only way to go. But real quick, I want to show you a picture of Case because it's Mother's Day. And yeah, I'm sure y'all's kids are cute, but man. So this is my first Mother's Day, which is a super special day. So I'm a new mom. And there was so much about motherhood that I was ready for. I mean, like, as ready as you can be, right? Like, you're never ready. But, like, I was ready for a lot of this stuff. Like, I prayed for it. I couldn't wait for the sleepless nights, for the dirty diapers, for the spit up, for the stuff. Like, I had everything that I had researched. I knew what I needed. I was ready and prepared for so much about motherhood. But there was something that I wasn't prepared for. Y'all didn't tell me about the fear and the worry and the thoughts that would consume my mind all day, every day. I wasn't prepared for laying awake at night watching his monitor to make sure that he was breathing. I wasn't prepared for the amount of germs in this world. There are germs everywhere. And y'all need to quit touching my baby. Like, seriously. So many germs. I wasn't prepared for everything to be a potential threat. Like, don't cover them up with the blanket. They're going to suffocate. Don't not cover them up with the blanket. They're going to get... Everything was a potential threat. I wasn't prepared for the dreams. I've had dreams of him falling out of bed and trying to catch him. He doesn't sleep in our bed, but in my dreams he does for some reason. And he would fall, like be falling out of the bed, and I'm trying to catch him. And one night it resulted in me accidentally hitting Clay as I'm reaching to grab Clay or Case out of from bed. Clay says that I did it on purpose, but I promise it was part of my dream. It was. I wasn't prepared for the not knowing what to do. When I know he's sick, when I know he's hurting, when I know he doesn't feel good and I just don't know what it is or what to do about it. I wasn't prepared for the constant comparison in development. I wasn't ready like to watch all the other kids his age grow up and go, well, my kid's not crawling, but so-and-so's kid's crawling. They're almost running, in fact, and my kid doesn't even like tummy time. Is he ever going to crawl? Is he ever going to be able to walk? And that comparison, or so-and-so's kid can, like, eat steak dinners, and my kid still throws up when he has any food with texture, you know? Like, I wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared for the worrying about messing it up. Am I going to be the one that screws this up? Am I going to be the one that messes up being a parent? Am I giving him too much? Am I not giving him enough? Am I loving him too much? Am I spoiling him too much? Am I not spending enough time with those things? The constant worry of if it's going to be me. And then all the what if thoughts that I'm sure every mother, father, person in the room has had that just can take you to a deep, deep, dark place if you let it. I wasn't prepared for that. And I know what some of you are thinking. You don't know anything yet. Just wait till he's a teenager, right? And I know that I'm only 10 months into this, and I only have one kid. And there's a lot of you that have a lot more experience, that have a lot more kids, that have been through a lot more. But I know that I may only be 10 months in, but I don't want to spend the rest of my life in fear and in worry. I want to learn now how to battle for peace, so that I can be exactly who I'm called to be as his mom and as a wife and as a friend as I walk out this thing called life. I want to know how to battle for peace, and I want to know how to battle well. And you may have been through a lot more. You may have a whole lot more experience. But sometimes I feel like when it comes to fear or worry or peace, sometimes we can become numb to some things in our life. We can just try to push through and just not think about it. And I hope that my freshness today will be something that will encourage your heart to know that you don't have to become numb to something, but you can press through and battle for peace. Fear is real. Worry is real. And it doesn't just affect new moms or new dads, but it affects all moms, all dads, and all humans. I think every one of us in this room could say that we've been affected by fear or worry in some form or fashion. And your fears that you came in with today may be a lot greater than any of the ones that I had on my little list. And there may be people in the room that have experienced some great loss, even greater than the ones that we dream of or try to avoid in our in those fears, all the what-if thoughts that you may have already experienced that kind of loss. But one way or the other, I think we could all say that we desire to have peace at whatever stage we're at in life. So we've been in a series called Battles, and we've been talking about the battles that we face, that we're all in different kinds of battles, but what does it look like to fight battles God's way? So the title for today's message is The Battle for Peace. And in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the type of battle that we're in. It's fixing to talk about our armor, but before it does, it talks about who our enemy is and what he looks like. And in verse 10, it says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Wow, what an encouraging Mother's Day message, huh? But the truth is that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we do have an enemy. And the enemy, the devil, has tricks. He has schemes. He has things that he tries to do to steal our peace, to get us off course, to try to get us to do something that we shouldn't be doing. Here are some of the things that he's used on me. I'm sure that some of you can relate to this. One is the distractions. If he can keep me busy, if he can keep me looking in other places, if he can keep me doing those things, it can totally get me off course from being who God's called me to be. Worry. Worry that leads to fear. And really, honestly, if we were to sit back and think about worry, what good does worry do any of us? Nothing. There's nothing that worry can change. Worry is worthless. You should write that down. Worry is worthless. It doesn't do any good. The other thing that I feel like he tries to do, one of his tricks, is to disunify people, to disunify marriages, to disunify friendships, to disunify relationships, to disunify churches, so that if he can get us to where we're not on one team, we're not as powerful. Shame. He says things to us like, you didn't just mess up, but you're messed up. And that's not truth. That's not what God says about us. We may have messed up. We may have done something wrong, but that doesn't mean that we are messed up. And then he tries to make us think that if we do certain things that maybe we can control, maybe we can handle a situation on our own. Even like he lied to Eve in the garden, he told her that, you know, like, God's not telling you the whole truth. Like, if you eat that fruit, you're going to have all the knowledge that God has. You're going to have the control like God has. And sometimes we want that, don't we? Like, I want to be able to put my life in order the way that I want to and have that control, like have everything in the CG bubble. Because I know best, which is not true. But sometimes we want that, and he makes us think that we can have it or that we do want it. And so before we talk about what it looks like to battle for peace, I want to talk about some of the things that we do when we try to manufacture peace on our own. When we try to control, when we try to avoid the fear by being the protector in whatever way that might look. I sat down with Pastor Ty this week, and almost every time I ever get to speak, I sit down with Pastor Ty, and I'm so grateful that he lets me and does that. But almost always, he like takes my message in a completely different direction, which is always good, but it's always hard too, you know? Like, now I've got to go study more. That's what he did. But he told me some things that were really, really good that I want to share with you guys. The first thing is that when we try to control, when we try to manufacture our peace, we try to be the protector and become our child's defender, instead of letting God be the protector and defender. There's this story that he told me about this boss, this leader, and he was interviewing applicants for a job. And he said that this happened several times to where college graduates, graduated college, came and applied for the job. Great applications, resumes, all whatever, all that stuff. And he then turns around and it offers an applicant, this college graduate, a job. And then they say, thank you for the offer, but before I accept your offer, I'm going to have to let my mom call you. My mom would like to interview you to make sure that you are a suitable boss for me. A part of me like is like, and what's so wrong with that? You know, like. But then you start thinking about it, and like, sometimes we can try to protect so much that now all of a sudden we've not shown them how to do it on their own. And by the way, the boss then took the application back. Six times that happened. to him, six different people, took the application back and said, you're probably not a fit for this particular place. But there has to be a balance. Protecting our families, protecting our kids truly is something that we need to do because we're supposed to be a steward, right? But we can be, if we're not careful, we can try to manufacture peace and then we control the situation. The next thing I think could happen, also Pastor Ty had told me about this interview with Andy Stanley and Tim Elmore. And Tim Elmore was talking about this next generation that's coming up with all of the things that we have going on in our world today, how they're growing up, and some of the things in our world that are so good, they really are. But if there's not a balance of them, the other side of it can be really bad. Like they can like not have some really important life skills that they need. And these things don't just apply to how we raise our children. I think some of us could look at our life and say, man, I try to even manufacture peace in that area of my life. So I want to tell you what they are. It's an acronym for SEEN, the SEEN today. So around us, if you look around, the first one, the letter S, stands for speed. Everything's fast. High speed internet, Amazon Prime, instant downloads, fast food. We can get everything quickly and fast. But the danger part of having everything fast, and don't you want your kids to not have to wait? It's a lot more peaceful if they don't, right? But if we don't learn how to wait, we don't know what it means to go slow. Which means that sometimes in marriage, there's some things that take time to figure out. Waiting on the right spouse is one of them. Or maybe there's things you're waiting for and believing for God to do in your life that just haven't happened yet. And it takes some patience and endurance to continue to trust God even when the situation hasn't changed around you. We've got to make sure that we don't just teach our kids that fast is so good that they don't know what it means to go slow and to have patience. C stands for convenience. Who doesn't want convenience for ourselves and for our children? Like, I totally want everything to be so convenient for Case. I want him to be comfortable. I don't want things to be too hard for him. You think about the hard stuff, and I'm like, I don't want him to have to go through hard stuff. But here's the life skill that he might not learn is like, if I look back and I think, if I didn't go through some of the hard stuff that I went through, I wouldn't be who I am today. The hard stuff helps to shape us and to form us and to make us. We can't be so afraid of the hard that we don't want to, that we try to manufacture peace in our life to make that not happen. We can't let anybody go through anything hard because we want to make sure and protect. The next E is entertainment. We love entertainment. Entertainment's a great thing, and it's all so at our fingertips. We can watch it, we can go to the movies, but we can also watch the movies on our phone or our tablets or our TV, whatever. We can be entertained 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just like that. But the problem with entertainment is that if there's not a balance, is that we lose the art of being bored. And if we're not bored, then we don't take time to go and practice creativity and have an imagination and go and learn to build things and learn how to use our mind to do stuff like that. Like, how many of you, your mom told you that it wasn't okay to say you were bored growing up? Was that just me? Yeah? Like, we weren't allowed to say the word bored because if we were bored, she was going to find us something to do. And it was not what we wanted to do. So if I was ever bored, I learned to find things to do. And I think even as adults, not just as kids, that if we get so focused in what it means, the entertainment portion of things, to try to like manufacture peace in our minds so that we don't have to think about something, that we can lose what it means to just have those bored, quiet times. In nurture. And who doesn't want your child to be nurtured, cared for, protected in every way, shape, or form? But they've got to learn what it means to risk. We've got to learn what it means to risk. This guy on the interview, he said there's like 75% of high school students, their desire, their dream in life is to be an entrepreneur. They want to run a business. They want to start a business, whatever. And if they don't know how to risk, are they really ever going to be able to take those steps of faith to do what they need to do to be that? If all they've ever been is nurtured? And risk is hard. I'm not a real risky person. I'll just be real honest. Like, I'm not the adventurous type. But I also know that when it comes to my faith and trusting Jesus, risk is important because I have to step out in faith, not in who I am, but in who he is. Last one, E, entitlement. And I like entitlement. I mean, you know, like the whole I deserve this, you know? I mean, I got a trophy for running in my first barrel race, so did all the other people, but I didn't know that at the time, you know? Like, I loved it. But either way, I don't think that it's entitlement that is all that bad, as long as we don't lose how to teach people how to work hard. That it's not all just handed to us, that we do have to pursue and work for things. Can y'all see how if we try to manufacture peace, some of the danger parts of that for us or for our kids, how it could really lose life skills? We could teach our kids to trust us and not Jesus if we're not careful. Pastor Ty said, the question he asked himself, do I want to be my kids' God or do I want them to know God? The Bible talks about how we're supposed to train up a child in the way they should go so that when they grow old, they will not depart from it. That's our job as a parent, is to teach kids about Jesus, to teach them how to follow Jesus, to teach them how to trust God. That's what I want to do. But I spend a lot of my time worrying about how to protect my kid. And so that's what I want to talk about today, is how do we battle for peace? And here's the battle plan. And every battle may look a little different, but these are some things that God has really been showing me personally in my life for how to battle for peace with where I'm at right now. So number one is you got to get dressed for a battle. Like, that only makes sense, right? Like, any soldier that's fixing to go out to battle has to put the armor on first. And we all know that the Bible talks about the armor of God. If you grew up in church, if you grew up in Sunday school, you probably had a song for it or whatever. You know, like, we grew up learning about the armor of God, but we forget that it is important to think about putting those things on. And every piece of the armor is so important. You don't want to go without every single piece. So let's read real quick in Ephesians 6, verse 13. It says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Isn't it interesting, out of all the pieces of armor, and I mean, you can spend tons of time talking about the armor of God, and there's so much to it, and you're welcome. We don't have enough time to do it all today. So I'm just going to focus on one piece of armor, and that's the shoes. Isn't it interesting that the shoes are referred to as shoes of peace? And the other thing that's interesting to me is, like, I'd never even really think about how important shoes are to your armor, you know? Like, shoes are so important. And so if you think about the armor that the soldiers wore, the shoes that they put on, they were really thick, soled, heavy-duty leather on the bottom. And the reason for that was for protection, obviously, for the bottom of their feet. If you think about it, say, I want you to get this picture. We're fixing to go out to battle in Lee County, New Mexico, okay? You've got your helmet, you got your breastplate, you got your belt, you got your sword, you got your shield, but you forgot your shoes. And the battle is out there in that pasture. And you take off running in that pasture and you step on that first goat head. It's going to immediately cripple you and paralyze you. And isn't it crazy that fear does the same thing? It paralyzes us. And it says that we are to put on the shoes of peace to be the protection on the bottom of our feet, which is also to serve as our foundation. And our foundation isn't built on something that we did. It's only built on who Jesus is. That's why it's called to put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, which is Jesus. The price that he paid for us, the gospel, doing something that only he could do. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. That's what our foundation is built on, is on Jesus and the future that he's given us, the promise of eternal life. That's where our foundation is built. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, Jesus, you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The next thing about shoes, they provided confidence, because if you were wearing the right kind of shoes, you could take the steps that you needed to take without looking down to figure out where I needed to step or not step. And in our life, when we put on shoes of peace, we don't have to wonder. We don't have to worry. Am I stepping in the right place? Am I being all that God wants me to be? Am I messing this up? We can step in confidence knowing that I'm being who God called me to be, and I have that kind of peace because I've put on those shoes. Confidence is in me, not because of who I am, but because of who He is. The shoes were also studded with nails or spikes. They were like cleats, and they helped them, the soldiers, like on rough terrain or places that were really hard to move and to travel. They helped them have a firm foundation and a footing. They helped them keep their balance. And doesn't that sound like that's what Jesus is to us, is our foundation? We build on Him. Everything about our life, that peace comes from Jesus, not of this world. We have to build our foundation on Him. And then also they helped them to move, to help them to go. Obviously, we wear shoes so that we can go somewhere. They helped them with traction. And it was to not only have peace that comes from Jesus, but it was to then share Jesus as they went. And so our shoes are so important. Not our physical shoes, but the shoes of peace that we're supposed to strap on as a piece of our armor to go up to fight against the enemy. And girls in the room, and guys, y'all have it easy. Seriously, it's ridiculous. But girls in the room, like, you know how important shoes are to an outfit. I'm not real up on, like, what's in style and all that stuff, but I know that a lot of times I have to figure out what shoes I'm going to wear before I can figure out what outfit I'm going to wear for the day, because they're that important. Shoes change the way you walk. I remember when anytime I had to dress up in high school, because I always wore tennis shoes everywhere I went, and then all of a sudden I had to wear something with just a little bit of a heel, Mom would say, quit walking like a boy, because I didn't know how to walk with the heels on, because they change. They change the way you walk. They change your posture. They change your confidence. They change it. So don't put on the wrong shoes. You've got to make sure and put on the right shoes. The shoes that I have a tendency to put on sometimes that are wrong are the shoes that I can do it on my own instead of living fully dependent and surrendered to God, because I can't do it on my own. And also the other shoes of the I can earn it, I can do it shoes, I can get it, and we can't. There's nothing that we can do to earn or deserve God's love. Amen. It's a free gift given to us. And if you're wearing the wrong shoes, like, I'm not wearing the wrong shoes today. This was my very first Mother's Day gift. Case gave them to me last night. But there's a little bit more of a heel than I'm used to. And so I'm already beginning to feel it in my feet, you know? And if you're wearing the wrong shoes, you can feel it. If we walk out and try to be who God's called us to be and we're not wearing the right armor and the right shoes, we're not going to feel the peace that we want to feel, that we need to feel. Prayer is an important part of our armor. Just real briefly in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The part of that scripture that we all love so much is the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds, right? Like, we love that part. But it starts by talking about the importance of prayer. When you're anxious, when you're worried, you present the request to God. And if you'll notice in the scripture, it doesn't say that you present your request to God and then everything is just butterflies and whatever. You know, like, it doesn't just all of a sudden fix itself. It says, then He gives you peace. So many times I think that we're praying, just like Melody said earlier, we want to seek God's hand and we forget about seeking His face. And when we seek His face, He changes us. That's what prayer is all about, is He gives us that peace to be and do all that He's called us to be, not just to change our circumstance. So, you've got to put on your shoes. You've got to get dressed. Number two, we've got to seek and pursue peace. That just sounds like a war battle term, doesn't it? Seek and pursue? I don't know. I've never really been in battle, but I feel like that's something somebody would tell you to go after, to seek and pursue. And in Psalms 34:14 and in 1 Peter chapter 3:11, they both say something similar to depart from evil and do good. And then it says seek and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. I can think of a lot of things in this life that we seek after and that we pursue. But peace isn't always something that we're seeking and pursuing. And it says to seek after it and pursue it. Now, for me personally, one of the things that I feel like God has really been speaking to me about how to seek peace for me is to learn what it means to be still. You heard earlier mentioned that Scripture says to be still and know that I am God. And watching Case as a 10-month-old, oh my goodness, he's into everything. Like, we're crawling everywhere. We've got fences everywhere. He's pulling up on everything. Whatever he's not supposed to be into, that's what he's into. You know that thing? And there's so many, and his little attention span is always switching around. You're here for 5 seconds, and then he's on something else, and he's moving all the time. And so many times I wanted to just grab him and be like, be still. Just sit still, right? Sit still. And I just wonder sometimes if I look like that to God. Not that he's frustrated with me, but if he's ever like, would you want to just sit with me for a minute? You want to just sit still? And honestly, I don't really even know what this looks like, but I do know what it doesn't look like. Because of all the distractions, because of all the busyness in my life, even being still at a stoplight is difficult for me. You get to a stoplight and it's like, did anybody text me or call me or, you know, emails? Or those things just keep you so busy and distracted versus learning what it means to be still, to hold your peace. Sometimes it means when you hear the phrase in the Bible, hold your peace, a lot of times that's talking about be still, and it's also saying to be quiet, which is also something that I feel like seeking, pursuing peace, sometimes I just need to be quiet and listen. To trust. Like Heather said last week, our faith, the foundation for peace is trusting who God is in our life. We've got to trust God first so that we can have that peace. Next point in a battle plan for peace is we've got to do our part. In Romans chapter 12, verse 18, it says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. The New Living Translation says, do your part to live in peace with everyone. And, you know, really honestly, like, you can't do a whole lot about somebody else living in peace with you. Your husband, your friends, your coworkers, the people around you. You can't determine how much peace they're going to live in the relationship. But you can do your part to live in peace. And we can't control the circumstances and the things that are going on around us that are going to try to take our peace. We can't make a peaceful situation out of those. But we can do our part to live in peace. One of the most important things I feel like that I've had to learn and am learning about what it means to do my part to live in peace is learning how to take my thoughts captive. When those thoughts of fear or worry just want to take off and take me to places that I don't need to go, I've had to learn how to stop it in its tracks. We traveled not too long ago through the airport, and I like kind of pride myself in being really good at getting through the airport security. Like, I have a plan, I have the right shoes on, I don't usually wear a jacket so that I don't have to take it off. If I do, I already have it off, I don't take a lot in my pockets or my belt. You know, like, I have the plan already. I know where put my computer out. And so I very rarely, like, get stopped or asked anything. And this one particular day, I went through the security deal, and the guy motions me over, and he says, ma'am, is this your backpack? And I was like, yes, sir. And I kind of gulped kind of hard, you know, like, I don't get in trouble for much, you know? And he was like, I'm going to have to check your backpack. And I said, okay. And he starts digging. And next thing I know, he can't find whatever it is he's looking for. And he pulls me over into the corner and makes me sit down. And now I'm sweating. And I'm like, I'm going to go to jail. And I'm freaking out. And he starts digging. And I can't touch the bag. He said, you can't touch it. And I said, well, there's like a hidden pocket in the middle in my hard drive. Maybe it's my hard drive. I don't know. And he digs everything comes out of my backpack. In a minute, he pulls out a little X-Acto knife with a razor blade on it. Because sometimes I want to be like Joy Perry, and she keeps those in her art supplies, so I needed one in my backpack, I guess. I don't know. And I had forgotten that it was there. And I thought, man, what if we got so good at taking our thoughts captive that it was like that? There wasn't anything that could slip past the security system in our head. That it all has to pass through Was that thought true? Was it noble? Was it just? Was it pure? Was it lovely? Was it of good report? Was it of any virtue? Meditate on those kind of things. But I will tell you this, when it comes to taking your thoughts captive, you can recognize them in their tracks. But if you just stop and go, don't think that, don't think that, don't think that, you're probably going to keep thinking that, you know? You've got to not only take it captive, but then replace it with truth. Replace it with gratitude. Replace it with who God is in your life. When you guard your mind, you guard your peace. And then last point, when it comes to the battle plan for peace, we've got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And I feel like you could probably go, duh. Because that's kind of how I feel sometimes too. Like, yeah. But I sat down with Pastor Ty and he said, when I told him that, he said, how is keeping your eyes on Jesus a battle for peace? And I've been thinking and thinking and thinking. I'm like, it's not so much for me that that's the battle for peace. Sometimes the battle for me is keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus. Because I want to get so distracted. Because my eyes do end up going in places they shouldn't go, or my mind wanders. And so it takes being intentional to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. But it's so important. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This scripture has meant a whole lot to me just this year in 2019. And I'd learned this scripture growing up. I knew what it meant. I knew that we were in a race, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. But there was a part that really stood out to me. It was like I always took, lay aside every weight and every sin and put them together. And it was like, if I wasn't dealing with a lot of sin in my life at that time, then I'm good, right? I've got my eyes fixed on Jesus. I've already laid that aside. But you would not believe the weight that God began to reveal to me that I try to carry sometimes. The weight to be good enough, the weight to have it figured out, the weight to protect, the weight to control, the weight to take care of everyone around me, the weight to... We carry a lot of weight that's not ours to carry. Amen. We're supposed to run this race in such a way that we lay that stuff aside and we fix our eyes on Jesus. And that sometimes is a battle, but it's so important. Peter, when he was walking on water, I love that story so much because you just can't help but love Peter, right? But in Matthew 14, when he steps out of the boat and he's walking to Jesus and he is walking on water, but then he starts to look at the wind and the waves and begins to sink because he took his eyes off of Jesus. I so badly want people to just know how much God loves them and the plan that he has for their life, that he is a good, good father. I've learned more about love, how I love, but how God loves me since being a mom, because it's an indescribable kind of love. This little snotty-nosed kid does nothing to earn or deserve my love, but I love the heck out of him. And then also, not only that, but then to watch his father's love, his earthly father, to watch Clay love Case and to watch Case love Clay. Why is it that the dads are always the favorite, by the way? Seriously. I'm still not all right with that. But, man, Case loves his daddy, and Clay loves Case. And we happened to catch on video, we so badly wanted him to crawl, and he was getting really close, and he would take a couple steps and fall. He hated tummy time, so he just wouldn't crawl. And this one day, Clay got down on the floor with him, and he was looking at him, he was talking to him, he was coaching him, and Case began to crawl to him. And I just want to show y'all real quick this picture. It's Mother's Day, so is it okay if I show you a video of my kid? But I want you to not think so much that this is Case and this is his dad. I want you to picture God looking at you that way. And watch how Case fixes his eyes on his daddy.
Come here.
But do you know that your Heavenly Father loves you even more? And it was a struggle. Like, Case was struggling. You can hear him, like, grunting and stuff. And he gets almost there, and then he reaches out, and what does Clay do? He scoops him up. And that's how much our Earthly Father loves us. And does that not give you peace? Peace to know that he's holding you in the palm of your hands. Peace to know that he has a good plan for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He is a good, good Father, and you can trust him. There was a storm recently, the tornadoes and all that stuff going on. And Clay and I were talking about, isn't it crazy that this storm could be going on? We're kind of freaking out a little bit. Like, where do we go? Should we go somewhere? What room should we get in? You know, we didn't know. And Case had no earthly idea that there was anything to be worried about whatsoever. I want to live my life just trusting in my Father like that. That whatever the future looks like, I know that he's in control. My foundation is built on Jesus. I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. But because of what he did for me, I can walk out peace. I can walk out living to be the person that he's called me to be, not because of me, but because of him. And if you're in this place and you would say, CG, I don't know what that peace feels like. I've never had the opportunity to have peace with God. I don't know how he feels about me. I would love, before you leave today, Pastor Jeff and I will be over at that Next Steps booth. We would love to pray with you. We would love to talk to you about what it means to choose Jesus first. That's the first step in choosing peace, is to choose Jesus. But I also just want to encourage every person in the room, mom, dad, or whoever. Maybe you're in a season of waiting to be a mom. I just want you to just rest for a minute in the peace that only God can give by fixing your eyes on him and letting him love on you for just a minute. Can I pray for you? Father, I just thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for who you are. Thank you for Jesus. Man, there's so much about what we do and what we've done that's so messed up, and we don't deserve your love, but you give it to us anyway. We don't deserve your grace or your forgiveness, but because of Jesus, we have access to it, and I'm so grateful. So, Lord, as we walk out, whatever circumstances may be going on around us, help us to put that armor on, to walk with our shoes of peace, with our foundation built on you. Help us to do our part to live in peace. Help us to seek and pursue it, even if that means being still. And Lord, help us to fix our eyes on you. We love you, Jesus. I thank you for living big in us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Cowboy Junction, would you stand to your feet? Our prayer team is available over here. If you need prayer for anything, just somebody to agree with you, we would love to pray with you. Pastor Jeff and I will be over here. If you want to accept Jesus today as your personal Lord and Savior and choose him first to be your peace, we would love to pray with you. Moms, when you leave, when you exit, there's a table set up back there with coffee and a little package of cookies. Every mom in the room, you guys can take a package of cookies. Now, one package per mom, okay? None of this like, can I take one to my mom's mom or whatever? No. One package of cookies. But we love you guys. We hope you all have a wonderful Mother's Day. It's time for us to go love God and love people with no limits. And we'll see you next week.